to song 389. Your gospel, Lord. Lord, thank you so much for everything you do for us, Lord, for all the blessings you give us, Lord. Thank you for this church. Thank you for the people in this church. Thank you for our pastor. Lord, thank you for everything. Father, I just pray that this preaching tonight gives you glory and that the singing gives you glory. In the name of your son, Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
All right, let's turn to our next song. Song number 229. Song 229, Since I Have Been Redeemed. Song 229.
Since I have been redeemed, I will glory in his name.
announcements. If you don't have a bulletin, Brother Lindsay will get one for you. All right, looks like everyone has one. I mentioned this morning we had some technical difficulties with the announcements, not being able to get them all printed out, so we're still in the struggle for that one, so we don't have a prayer request, but if you could look there on the first part of the announcements, the service times are at 10:30 a.m. and 4 p.m. for the preaching. And on Wednesdays, we have a Wednesday night Bible study. We're in the book of Psalms, chapter 31. Below that, you'll see the soul-winning opportunities for the church, and then the salvations and baptisms. So I just want to go over any salvations that were done before today. Any that were missed this morning? All right, salvations for today. All right, two over here. Three, amen. Salvations today. Amen. Keep up all the great work today out there preaching the gospel. The bottom are the offering totals. And on the next page, we have the men's preaching class. But again, like I said, we don't have the prayer request. So please pray for the people that were on the last prayer request list. And also pray for a pastor and his family. They've been kind of dealing with sickness going on through the house. Pastor was feeling really ill this morning. So definitely keep him in prayer. But let's continue on. The men's preaching class is August 22nd at 10:30, and that's also Ms. Freeman's baby shower as well, and that'll be at 12:30. Lunch will be provided for that. The women will be here and do baby shower stuff, and the men will find something to do. We have our soul winning marathon in September, September 5th, on the Labor Day weekend, so if you're not out of town, feel free to come out for that. It's the same format as it was all these other soul winning marathons we've had. We'll have to come early for breakfast, and then we'll go out soul winning, come back for lunch, go out soul winning, and then have dinner. And below that is our Bible memory passage, which is also our challenge for the month of August. If you can quote Psalm 35, the entire chapter, backward perfect before the end of the month, you'll receive a prize. I can't tell you what those prizes you'll get them, but you'll get a prize. We have the Midwest Fundamentalist Conference on October 1st. It runs through the 3rd. The pastor's going to be a part of this. So I'm assuming it's going to be a great conference. But I don't have any information on how to get tickets. I know there was a way to get free tickets. I don't have that information. If you're interested in this conference, just email Pastor Versions, and he'll give you more information on that. And then at the bottom, we have the birthdays, and it is Sarah's birthday today. So that is it for our announcements. So let's turn to our next song, Psalm number 44. Psalm number 44 will work till Jesus comes. Psalm number 44. Thank you. ask Brother Lindsay if he can please do that for us. While the offering plate is being passed around, if you guys can open up your Bibles to the book of Leviticus, chapter 13. Book of Leviticus, chapter 13. As we do custom here at Stronghold Baptist Church, we're going to read the entire chapter and ask Brother Carter if you can please read for us.
The Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, When a man shall have in the skin of his flesh a rising, a scab, or bright spot, and if it be in the skin of his flesh like the plague of leprosy, then he shall be brought unto Aaron the priest, or unto one of his sons the priest. And the priest shall look on the plague in the skin of the flesh, and when the hair in the plague is turned white, and the plague in sight be deeper than the skin of his flesh, it is a plague of leprosy, and the priest shall look on him and pronounce him unclean. If the bright spot be white in the skin of his flesh, and in the sight be not deeper than the skin, and the hair thereof be not turned white, then the priest shall shut up him that had the plague 7 days. And the priest shall look on him the seventh day, and behold, if the plague in his sight be at his stake, and the plague spread not in the skin, then the priest shall shut him up 7 days more, and the priest shall look on him again the seventh day, and behold, if the plague be somewhat dark, and the plague spread not in the skin, the priest shall pronounce him clean. It is but a scab, and he shall wash his clothes and be clean. But if the scab spread much abroad in the skin, after that he hath been seen of the priest for his cleansing, he shall be seen of the priest again. And if the priest see that, behold, the scab spreadeth in the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a leprosy. When the plague of leprosy is in a man, then he shall be brought unto the priest, and the priest shall see him. And behold, if the rising be white in the skin, and it have turned the hair white, and there be quick raw flesh in the rising, it is an old leprosy in the skin of his flesh. And the priest shall pronounce him unclean, and shall not shut him up, for he is unclean. And if a leprosy break out abroad in the skin, and the leprosy cover all the skin of him that hath the plague from his head even to his foot, wheresoever the priest looketh, then the priest shall consider, and behold, if the leprosy have covered all his flesh, he shall pronounce him clean that hath the plague. It is all turned white, he is clean. But when raw flesh appeareth in him, he shall be unclean. And the priest shall see the raw flesh and pronounce him to be unclean. For the flesh raw is unclean. It is a leprosy. Or if the raw flesh turn again and be changed into white, he shall come unto the priest. And the priest shall see him. And behold, if the plague be turned into white, then the priest shall pronounce him clean that hath the plague. He is clean. The flesh also, in which even in the skin thereof was a boil, and is healed, and in the place of the boil there be a white rising, or a spot, or a bright spot, white and somewhat reddish, and it be showed to the priest. And if, when the priest seeth it, behold, it be in sight lower than the skin, and the hair thereof be turned white, the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a plague of leprosy broken out of the boil. But if the priest look on it, and behold, there be no white hairs therein, and if it be not lower than the skin, but be somewhat dark, then the priest shall shut him up 7 days. And if it spread much abroad in the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a plague. But if the bright spot stay in his place and spread not, it is a burning boil, and the priest shall pronounce him clean. Or if there be any flesh in the skin whereof there is a hot burning, and the quick flesh that burneth have a white bright spot, somewhat reddish or white, then the priest shall look upon it, and behold, if the hair in the bright spot be turned white, and it be in sight deeper than the skin, it it is a leprosy broken out of the burning. Wherefore the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is the plague of leprosy. But if the priest look on it, and behold, there be no white hair in the bright spot, and it be no lower than the other skin, but be somewhat dark, then the priest shall shut him up 7 days, and the priest shall look upon him the seventh day. And if it be spread much abroad in the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is the plague of leprosy. And if the bright spot stay in his place and spread not in the skin, but it be somewhat dark, it is a rising of the burning, and the priest shall pronounce him clean, for it is an inflammation of the burning. If a man or woman have a plague upon the head or the beard, then the priest shall see the plague, and behold, if it be in sight deeper than the skin, and there be in it a yellow thin hair, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a dry scab, even a leprosy upon the head or beard. And if the priest look on the plague of the scab, and behold, it be not in sight deeper than the skin, and that there is no black hair in it, then the priest shall shut up him that hath the plague of the scab 7 days. And in the seventh day, the priest shall look on this plague, and behold, if the scab spread not, and there be in it no yellow hair, and the scab be not in sight deeper than the skin, he shall be shaven, but the scab shall he not shave. And the priest shall shut up him that hath the scab 7 days more. And in the seventh day, the priest shall look on the scab, and behold, if the scab be not spread in the skin, nor be in sight deeper than the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him clean. He shall wash his clothes and be clean. But if the scab spread much in the skin after his cleansing, then the priest shall look on him. And behold, if the scab be spread in the skin, the priest shall not seek for yellow hair. He is unclean. But if the scab be in his sight at a stave, and that there is black hair grown up therein, the scab is healed. He is clean, and the priest shall pronounce him clean. If a man also a woman have in the skin of their flesh bright spots, even white bright spots, then the priest shall look, and behold, if the bright spots in the skin of their flesh be darkish white, it is a freckled spot that groweth in the skin. He is clean. And the man whose hair is falling off his head, he is bald, yet is he clean. And he that hath his hair fallen off from the part of his head toward his face, he is forehead bald, yet he is clean. And if there be in the bald head or bald forehead a white reddish sore, it is a leprosy sprung up in his bald head or his bald forehead. Then the priest shall look upon it, and behold, if the rising of the sore be white reddish in his bald head or in his bald forehead, as the leprosy appeareth in the skin of the flesh, he is a leprous man. He is unclean. The priest shall pronounce him utterly unclean. His plague is in his head. And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent, and his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip, and shall cry, unclean, unclean. All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean. He shall dwell alone. Without the camp shall his habitation be. The garment also that the plague of the leprosy is in, whether it be a woolen garment or a linen garment, whether it be in the warp or woof of the linen or of woolen, whether in a skin or in anything made of skin, and if the plague be greenish or reddish in the garment or in the skin, either in the warp or in the woof or in anything of skin, it is a plague of leprosy and shall be showed unto the priest. And the priest shall look upon the plague and shut up it that hath the plague 7 days. And he shall look on the plague on the seventh day. If the plague be spread in the garment, either in the warp or in the woof or in a skin or in any work that is made of skin, the plague is a fretting leprosy. It is unclean. He shall therefore burn that garment, whether warp or woof, in woolen or linen, or anything of skin wherein the plague is, for it is a fretting leprosy. It shall be burnt in the fire. And if the priest shall look, and behold, the plague be not spread in the garment, either in the warp, or in the woof, or in any thing of skin, then the priest shall command that they wash the thing wherein the plague is, and he shall shut it up 7 days more. And the priest shall look on the plague after that it is washed, and behold, if the plague have not changed its color, and the plague be not spread, it is unclean. Thou shalt burn it in the fire. It is fret inward, whether it be bare within or without. And if the priest look, and behold, the plague be somewhat dark after the washing of it, then he shall rend it out of the garment, or out of the skin, or out of the wart, or out of the woof. And if it appears still in the garment, either in the wart or in the woof, or in anything of skin, it is a spreading plague. Thou shalt burn that wherein the plague is with fire. And the garment, either wart or woof, or whatsoever thing of skin it be, which thou shalt wash, if the plague be departed from them, then it shall be washed the second time, and shall be clean. This is the law of the plague of leprosy, in a garment of woolen or linen, either in the wart or woof, or anything of skins, to pronounce it clean or to pronounce it unclean. It's that word of prayer. Lord God, we thank you for your instruction this day. We thank you for your holy word, Father. As we come this evening to hear your word preached, we pray, Lord, that you would fill Brother Devin with your Holy Spirit, help him to expound well on your word, Father, and help us to be attentive to your words and apply these principles to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Appreciate you reading that long chapter there. Everybody still awake? Get my backup recording going. Okay, we're good to go. So the title of this message is A Biblical View of Medical Masks. Okay, A Biblical View of Medical Masks. So maybe you noticed in that long chapter that Brother John just read, in verse 45, it mentions basically what we would refer to as medical mask. And it's pretty interesting, if you think about it, that the Bible even talks about this. It just shows how the Bible is just ahead of its time, because this is all the way back in Moses' day, right? And yet this teaching, this scientifically accurate teaching of covering your lip, because that's what it says. In verse 45, if you want to look, I'll just read that one verse. And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent and his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip and shall cry, unclean, unclean. So this is just, just shows how God is just always more advanced than whatever the science is. And the same thing is true today, right? So I just, first of all, just, praise God for his truth and his word there. But a lot of people, this is a message that I think is pretty relevant for the things that we see going on today. It's like more than ever, people are just wearing medical masks. It's, it's all over, everywhere you go, right? Because of the coronavirus, COVID-19, whatever you want to call it. And a lot of people have varying opinions on it. Some people think, you have to wear it. We need to make rules where you have to wear it. Other people are like, no, it's dumb. It doesn't do anything. But what's the Bible view on this subject, and that's what we're going to be looking at. So hopefully we'll get not my opinion, but just what the Bible's teaching is on this type of thing. And this is really the only verse you're going to see about it. So it's going to be a real short sermon. No, I'm just kidding. So this is the only verse that I know of that teaches about specifically a covering that you would use over your mouth for basically this reason to not spread bacteria. So we're going to look at this subject in light of mainly everything that we see going on with the coronavirus and what we see being implemented with all the masks. And, a lot of states are, they're not laws, but they're like executive orders making everywhere. You have to wear a mask if you're going to be a business that's going to be open. Or at your job, you have to wear a mask. Today, we had several stories where people are going out soul winning and people are just like upset or just expecting, you're not wearing a mask. Where's your mask, right? So I find that this is a very relevant subject today. So I'm not going to read the whole chapter again, but if you want to further get the further teaching on this in the Bible, Leviticus chapter 14 also goes into leprosy, and we're not going to read that. It's also a very long chapter. So I encourage you to read that on your own. But if you want to look at verse 42 in Leviticus 13, it says, "And if there be in the bald head or bald forehead a white reddish sore. It is a leprosy sprung up in his bald head or his bald forehead. Then the priest shall look upon it, and behold, if the rising of the sore be white reddish in his bald head or in his bald forehead, as the leprosy appeareth in the skin of the flesh, he is a leprous man, he is unclean. The priest shall pronounce him utterly unclean. His plague is in his head. And the leper, in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent and his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip and shall cry, unclean, unclean, all the days wherein the plague shall be in him. He shall be defiled. He is unclean. He shall dwell alone. Without the camp shall his habitation be. So a couple of things I want to point out just right away is, hey, masks, medical masks, they are biblical, okay? So just to say, hey, well, they're just completely stupid, they don't do anything at all, well, that's obviously not true. Otherwise, is God stupid? Because he has it in the Bible, basically, for someone who's a leper, right? Okay? So it obviously does something. You know, is it going to just be a 100% preventative thing? Well, no, I mean, not necessarily. So, but this principle, though, is taught, so it is biblical. So to say that it doesn't work, that's not accurate. Now, also what you see going on is some other things that are implemented now, like just the separation, right? Because, you know, people say, hey, there's the coronavirus, so we need to go ahead and separate. We need to be, like, quarantined and stuff for, you know, 7 days or 14 days or, you know, 2 weeks or whatever. Those are the numbers. And you might wonder, where are those numbers coming from? Well, those numbers are actually biblical principles too, because, you know, in this chapter we saw basically, and we're going to look at it here in a minute, that those time frames are even what God spells out as being the right time frames. And this guy who has the leprosy, he's been diagnosed, he's unclean. He's basically covering his lip, and he's saying, hey, unclean, you know, don't come around here because, you know, you're going to get leprosy maybe, right? And, you know, I'm not an expert on leprosy. It seems like leprosy could be referring to maybe different things. But either way, you know, it's bad. You don't want leprosy. It seems to be pretty dangerous. You know, it seems to be like, you know, that's why it's significant for someone to be healed of leprosy. Because, you know, Jesus, you know, or Naaman, you know, in the Old Testament, he's healed of leprosy, and that was a miracle, you know, or, you know, Jesus healing the lepers. That's significant because, you know, lepers doesn't seem like in the Bible are just getting cleansed every day. Seems like once you get it, it's kind of like you got it. You know, that's just what it seemed to me. I'm not an expert. So, but leprosy is what we're dealing with this covering in this passage. So we're going to look at leprosy just to kind of further understand maybe a little bit of what we could take from that and apply in other areas. So, Numbers chapter 12, if you want to turn there, we're going to look at leprosy and just kind of see how it is dangerous and it's not something you really want. It's basically something that is, it could be just a death sentence, basically, once you have it, you know, depending on the degrees. I'm not entirely sure if it's completely uncurable because, you know, and when you read chapter 14, they would go through this, you know, sacrifices of in cleansing it, and they're attempting to cleanse it, but it was always, it seemed like it was still through the power of God to me when you read that. So you can check that on your own. But Numbers chapter 12, verse 9, we're going to see here. Now, this is when Miriam and Aaron were basically accusing Moses and talking bad about him for marrying the Ethiopian woman, or his wife. And basically, God was not happy with that. So it says, and the anger, in verse 9, Numbers chapter 12, verse 9, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said unto Moses, alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly, and wherein we have sinned. Let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed when he cometh out of his mother's womb. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, heal her now, O God, I beseech thee. So basically, Aaron looks at Miriam. She's got leprosy. You know, they're wrong. They're in sin. So God just smites her with leprosy. And Aaron sees it. He's like, oh, no. Like, she's as good as dead. Right? So, you know, it's like, this is, you know, she's just like someone who is born that's just good as dead. Like, they're born with leprosy or something. you know, don't let this happen. And then, you know, so he's like, hey, don't lay this sin on us. You know, and even Moses is, hey, you know, even though Moses is the one being spoken against here, he's crying out and beseeching God, asking God, hey, heal her, oh God. So right there, hey, leprosy is dangerous. I mean, she, you know, Aaron's like, hey, she's as good as dead. Okay. So it's dangerous. But let's, you know, what's interesting, though, about when someone was supposed to use the covering is it was only because they would go through this whole thing where, hey, you know, I think I might have leprosy. Like, I see this little scab here. I see the, you know, the different color in the flesh. So they would go to the priest. The priest, basically, he's like the doctor in this situation. And he's going to look at it. He's going to basically shut him up. If he can't figure out or determine that it is or isn't leprosy right then, he's going to shut him up, separate him, quarantine for 7 days, and then he's going to check him out again for and then another 7 days perhaps. So that's where you kind of get this 14-day period, which is, that's biblical, so that's good. But only when they're diagnosed to have it, when they're a confirmed case, that's when, okay, now you're unclean. Now you wear the covering over your upper lip. By the way, he didn't say nose, he just said upper lip. So you can't exactly say that it is for sure the nose, because upper lip and nose are two different things, right? So he's supposed to do this, but not necessarily, you know, not necessarily that, but anyways. And then he's supposed to say, hey, unclean, unclean, right? Once he's diagnosed, okay? That's key, I think, to look at, okay? And also, there is a time when someone here could have leprosy, but they don't realize it. I mean, because they're basically, all right, I mean, maybe I have it. I need to go look, check it out. Hey, does it look like leprosy? Maybe he has it, maybe he doesn't, right? And we saw, hey, leprosy is very contagious. That's the whole point of him saying, hey, unclean, don't come near to me, because it's contagious. Okay, so leprosy is dangerous. Leprosy is contagious, okay? But only once someone has been diagnosed, they've been quarantined, they've been separated, but they still have it, then they're diagnosed, okay, you have it. Now you need to be separate. You need to give people the warning, give people the heads up, and you need to cover your mouth. This is for this person, okay? Okay, now we're going to look at the beginning of Leviticus chapter 13, and we're going to see where it says, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, when a man shall have in the skin of his flesh a rising, a scab, or a bright spot, and it be in the skin of his flesh like the plague of leprosy, then he shall be brought unto Aaron the priest, or unto one of his sons the priest, and the priest shall look on the plague in the skin of the flesh, and when the hair in the plague is turned white, and the plague in sight be deeper than the skin of his flesh, it is a plague of leprosy. And then the priest shall look on him and pronounce him unclean. If the bright spot be white in the skin of his flesh, and in sight be not deeper than the skin, and the hair thereof be not turned white, then the priest shall shut up him that hath the plague 7 days. So there's those numbers, the 7 day periods, right? Because that's what you see now. So people have it, and then they're like, all right, you need to be off work 2 weeks or whatever, right? So, you know, that's where this has come from. Again, the Bible is way ahead of its time with these principles. You know, praise God for that knowledge and that wisdom he gave us, you know, way before any scientist figured it out. But anyways, and the priest shall look on him the seventh day, and behold, if the plague in his sight be a stay, and the plague spread not in the skin, then the priest shall shut him up 7 more days. So there you go. There's the 14-day total. And the priest shall look on him again the seventh day, and behold, if the plague be somewhat dark, and the plague spread not in the skin, the priest shall pronounce him clean. It is a scab, and he shall wash his clothes and be clean. So I read that just to show, hey, the 7 to 14-day period of quarantine is biblical also. Okay, this is the biblical view on those numbers. Okay, so, you know, if someone has symptoms of, you know, coronavirus or something, it's not a bad idea for them to be quarantined, right? And even that time period, it's a biblical time frame because it gives your body enough time to basically either have it or not have it, right? So I just wanted to throw that out there on this subject there. And here's the thing. When I read the Bible, when I read about leprosy, it seems like it's worse than the coronavirus. I mean, a lot of people in here have read the Bible. Does anybody agree with that? Yeah. I mean, I'm not an expert about leprosy. I don't know if it was like 100% death rate or something. I know it wasn't 100% because some people got healed, right? But what's the death rate of coronavirus? I mean, it's very low, right? And I'm not trying to make light of the people that died. I know the people that love the ones that died, they're not happy about that, and that matters. So I'm not trying to belittle that. But at the same time, when you're looking at a disease and what it merits for a nation or a large population, you know, as far as the precautions they need to take, you know, if you're, you know, you're comparing leprosy in the Bible and what they did for that and coronavirus and what we're doing for it, okay, basically people are saying, all right, coronavirus, like 2% or less than 10% of people are dying, so everything needs to shut down and we all need to wear masks. Like, we need to executive order the mask, can't go anywhere, you got to wear a mask. Just in case you might have it. You might have it, so just wear a mask, everyone, right? Well, did God mandate that for leprosy? No, I mean, wouldn't that make more sense, though? If it's more dangerous, if it's just as contagious, wouldn't it make more sense if you're gonna, you know, implement that nationwide? Like, if there's one leper, just everyone wear a mask. Because there's this time period where you could have it, right? And you don't know. Do I have it or do I not? Basically, you know, go down and figure it out. And until then, you're not wearing a mask, right? I mean, you know, that's something that happens after. So basically, this whole thing about wearing a mask and you're not even having any symptoms, let alone having a confirmed case, just because, you know, you may or someone may have it, that is taking this good principle way too far, okay? So, you know, the devil always likes to mix, you know, truth with a lie, right? Because there is truth to the medical mask. So just say, oh, that's dumb, that didn't do anything. Well, that's not true. There is a time, and there is a purpose there. It does do something, right? But then, you know, so you take the truth, the good philosophy there, and basically you take it to an extreme level, and now it's just like, no, wait a minute. Now you're actually in error. Now you're actually adding to God's teaching on that, okay? So, and well, how do you know that there were any lepers, you know, in the nation of Israel? Well, actually, there were a lot, you know, because Luke chapter 4, 27 says, and many lepers were in Israel in the time of Eliseus, the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. None of them were cleansed. That's many of them. None of them were cleansed. So it doesn't sound like it's being cured every day right there. None of them are being cleansed. And there were many of them. So it's not like it's just, well, we got this law, but it's not like it's going to get out of hand or anything. So you see what I'm saying? There were people that were in Israel when God had gave these laws about leprosy, and there were people that had it. And there were a lot of people that had it, and a lot of people didn't get cleansed. Okay? You know, there's other things you can do, you know, where you take a good principle and you take it too far. You know, think about, like, you know, the preppers, right? You know, basically, you know, there is truth. It's good to, you know, save up and to have some stuff put back, supplies, whatever, for a rainy day. But there's that. Then there's, well, you're just like going way overboard and you got to have it like stocked up, locked up. And you just got like, you're just, you know what I'm saying? Just this over the top extreme. Like, we got to take care of ourselves no matter what. It's all about, it's all on us. Well, then it just becomes this thing where you're just not trusting the Lord at all. And that's a wrong extreme. And the other opposite end of that would be, well, God's just going to take care of us, so I don't need to worry about saving any money or putting back for a rainy day or having a gun or whatever. I'm just going to pray all the blessings that God's going to take care of me. Matter of fact, I can just jump off the pinnacle of this building and the Lord's going to send his angel. That, you know, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God, right? Is what, you know, in that situation. So, you know, we don't want to take an imbalanced view. We want to, hey, do what God says to do. Do the common sense things that God said to do and then trust in the Lord. Right? This is what you do. This is what the Bible teaches. The Bible says, Proverbs 21:31, the horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. So you know what? You don't neglect to prepare the horse. You prepare the horse. You do what physical means God has instructed us to do. But then at the end of the day, you put your trust in the Lord, because ultimately, that's where the safety is coming from. Okay? Same principle taught in the New Testament with Luke, you know, in Luke 22. I don't know if you're still in Luke or if you ever turn there. But go ahead and turn to Luke 22. You know, when it comes to this whole subject of, hey, do I have a gun as a Christian? Or, you know, do I own weapons? Or, you know, or not at all because God's going to protect me? Or, you know, because God's going to have his angel outside my house, so do I need a gun? Is that a lack of faith if I have a gun or whatever, a way to protect myself or prepare the horse? Or do I just need to have all the, or how far do I take that? Do I just get all the armory and all the guns and just get the huge safe and all the ammo and just in case someone, you know, whatever, tries to start a war with me, you know? So, well, let's see. I mean, because it's the same type of a situation where it's like, are you going to go one extreme? You know, where's the right balance? What's the right view? Luke 22:35, this is Jesus speaking to his disciples. And he said unto them, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything? And they said, nothing. Then said he unto them, but now he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip. And he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. All right, there. See, we got to go ahead and just load up and stock up on all the stuff, you know, because right here, right, but, you know, we got to sell our garment and get a sword. Yeah, I agree with that. But what type of an extreme, how far are we taking this? Okay, so saying, well, I don't even need a gun, you know, God's going to protect me. Well, Jesus said to buy a sword. You know, the Bible teaches to prepare the horse, right? Okay, well, let's continue reading here. For I say unto you that this that is written must yet be accomplished in me, and he was reckoned among the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end. And they said, Lord, behold, here are two swords. And he said unto them, it is enough. Okay, so the 12 disciples are asking Jesus, okay, you're telling us to have a sword? To buy, you know, to sell our coat if we don't have one? And the 12 of them are like, hey, well, here's a couple swords right here. Hey, that's good. That's enough. I mean, that's not even one sword per person, right? But as a group, they had enough, right? They just had something. So you're not having this, like, where you don't have any sword, but you don't just go overboard. Like, all right, we need to have everyone's a sword and everyone's got a shield and a helmet. It's like, no, just that's enough, right? Just a minimal trust in the Lord, right? That's kind of what you see. Do what he says, but don't take it to this some extreme, right? Same thing with, you know, sicknesses. You know, we do what God tells us to do. We use the common sense that God is teaching us in the Bible, but we don't take it to any extreme, right? Okay, we should have the right balance of using common sense and trusting in the Lord, okay? And, you know, really what it becomes is just people are just living in fear, right? When you feel like you have to prep up on all this stuff, or you feel like, well, I need to wear a mask everywhere I go because I might get sick and you're just, you know, whatever, I might die, all right? Well, are you living in fear, though? Because it kind of sounds like you are. I mean, because, you know, there's always sicknesses, right? You could always die of something. You could be sitting here right now, you could have a gnat just fly into your mouth and you just choke to death. I mean, you could die over the dumbest thing, right? But, you know, you could survive the craziest thing, right? Like when Paul was stoned and they're like, yeah, let's kill him, right? You know, they're all stoning him, throwing rocks at him until he dies. And like, yep, he's dead, and he's not dead. He gets up out of it. It's like, if God wants you to live, you're going to live, right? I mean, in Daniel 5:22, you know, or 5:23, basically, Daniel told Belshazzar that, look, he's the God in whose thy hand, and he told him, the God in whose hand thy breath is, because God holds our breath in his hand, and if he wants us to live, we'll live, but if he wants us to die, he can just, you know, extinguish our breath. We don't even need a reason. Right? Think about the people in the Bible that God just killed. Oh, killed this guy, killed this guy, you know what I mean? And think about the things that people just survived. So that's not a way you live your life. Right? You do what human things you're supposed to do, your common sense things, things that God actually told you to do, and then you trust in the Lord. Right? All things work together for good to them that love God. That's what, you know, good or bad. You know, and Christians, bad things are supposed to happen to you. So it's not just going to be like, oh, nothing can happen, right? I mean, something's supposed to happen because you're supposed to be going through tribulation and persecution if you live in Christ Jesus, right? So 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Okay? The Bible says in Proverbs 28:1, "The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion." I mean, how bold do you really sound when you got your mask on? You're like, "Oh, hey, put your mask on. I don't want to get sick." It's like, I mean, you're not really exactly bold. You're not really exactly fearless, right? Like the lion. You know what I mean? I mean, when they're not sick, they're not diagnosed with anything. There's just some random person, right? You know, again, you know, if you're sick, quarantine yourself. You know, if you have been diagnosed with something, wear the mask if you're around people. Give people a heads up. "Hey, I'm sick," right? "Don't shake my hand. I'm sick," or whatever, right? You know, or if you work at a hospital and there's a lot of sick people, yeah, that makes sense to wear a mask then. But when you're just outside or when you're at the store, I'm just going to make sure that I never get sick ever, so I'm just going to wear the mask and get mad at people that don't. And here's the thing. Anyone who wants to wear a mask, I'm not against that. I mean, if you want to wear a mask, that's fine. And I'm not mad at you or upset about that. I mean, I'm just saying what's wrong here is when someone is trying to impose that on someone who doesn't want to do it. That's where you get into the problems. Okay, and we're going to get into that, kind of getting ahead of myself. So, okay, the Bible says that the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. It's funny how all the fear, you know, that's going on in America, you know, the fear with the coronavirus, and then all the, like, the anxiety that's built around that, and then you get all these, like, riots and everything going on. It's like, it seems like the fear of man is kind of bringing a snare in this country. And it seems like the fear as a response of the coronavirus is actually causing more damage than the coronavirus. Because that's probably the punishment of God right there. Because when you're a wicked nation, like we are as a country, and you're promoting abortion and homos and all this stuff, yeah, you ought to have a guilty conscience. You ought to be running at the shaking of a leaf. You know, you got the shaking of the leaf of the coronavirus or whatever, and you're like, "Oh, man," you know. And I'm not saying that the coronavirus, there's no threat to it or something. But at the same time, compare it to, like, the Black Death or the Black Plague or whatever, or leprosy or something that's just, like, way, way worse. It kind of starts to look like a shaking leaf at that point. You know what I mean? And people are like, "Oh, you know, I don't want to get sick. It's like, I might die." It's like, why are you so fearful? Are you wicked? You know what I'm saying? It's like, the wicked flee when no man pursueth. And your fear is just going to bring a snare upon you anyways, right? You ought not to live in fear. You ought to be afraid of God, because God's the one who can allow you to get it or not allow you to get it, right? Whatever the sickness, or die for whatever reason. You know, anyways. So, in the Bible, God is the one who controls, like, every plague, like, every disease. I can't think of an example, I mean, except when you got, like, the devil plaguing Job, but even God is allowing that to happen. You know what I mean? So God is basically the one responsible for every disease, you know, I mean, in the Bible, at least. He's the one making it happen, okay? "I don't believe you," okay, you might say. I don't think our loving God would do that. How could you say that? How dare you? God is love. Okay, Leviticus 14:33, and I'm going to show a couple examples. You know, maybe you kept a finger in Leviticus. Go ahead and have a finger in Leviticus 14. If you want to, go ahead and get another finger in 2 Samuel 24. 2 Samuel 24 and Leviticus 13, Leviticus 14. Leviticus 14, verse 33 says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying," so who's speaking here? The Lord, right? "When ye be come into the land of Canaan, which I give to you for possession, and I put the plague of leprosy in a house," you know, "of the land of your possession." Okay, so right there. God just did what now? He just put a plague of leprosy in a house? He did that? He You see, you know, why would God do such a hateful, unloving thing? It's like, well, you don't know God very well because God does stuff like this. Okay? He's putting a plague in a house. You know, the house didn't do anything wrong, I don't suppose, but the people living in it maybe did. Maybe they didn't, right? But this is something that God does regardless. God is responsible for the plague of leprosy because in this example, he's putting it in somebody's house, right? You ever get mold in your house? Why is this happening? Well, I mean, I don't know the reason, but God put it there. You know, he's using it in some kind of way, right? That's what's going on in this. It's basically the same situation. Mold in the house, lepers in the house, some type of same situation. Leviticus 26, verse 23, and if you will not be reformed by me, by these things, talking about the judgments that God has previously poured out upon the nation of Israel because they're wicked and he's judging them and punishing them, but will walk contrary unto me, then will I also walk contrary unto you and will punish you yet seven times for your sins, and I will bring a sword upon you that shall avenge the quarrel of my covenant, and when you are gathered together with your within your cities, I will send the pestilence among you. And ye shall be delivered into the hand of the enemy. So who is sending the pestilence? Who's sending the disease here? God. You think it's some coincidence that we have the coronavirus pandemic or whatever going on in this country? That's a punishment from God. Whether it's because the virus is actually that dangerous or if it's just because the fear that it's bringing about that's actually just cursing our land. Either way, it's a judgment of God. Well, how do you know that? Because when bad things happen to wicked people, or when bad things happen to a wicked nation, it's the judgment of God. Amen. Now, well, so if something bad happens to you, that means that you're wicked, you're in sin? No, not necessarily. Look at Job. He had all kinds of bad things happen to him, including sickness, right? He had the boils and all the, you know, stuff. So it's not if something bad happens to you, are you righteous or wicked? It's are you right with God? Do you have sin in your life? And if you have sin in your life, and something bad happens to you, yeah, it's a punishment from God. Same thing with a nation. You know, and every time in the Bible when something bad happens to a nation, it's pretty much always because they're in sin. I mean, the whole thing about, well, bad things happening to individuals when they're not in sin, that's usually just individuals. You know, I can't think of an example in the Bible where that happens to a nation. Okay, so God here is the one sending pestilence. He's the one putting the leprosy in the house or whatever. Okay, I had you turn to 2 Samuel chapter 24. You know, what's interesting about this story in 2 Samuel 24 is basically God sends the pestilence, the disease, on the nation of Israel, and we get a glimpse of what that looks like spiritually when God does that. And it's kind of interesting. So 2 Samuel 24, verse 1, and again the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he moved David against them to say, go and number Israel and Judah. Okay, so God's angry with the nation of Israel. So basically, in 2 Chronicles, I think it is, basically you see another angle of this where it's the devil, it's Satan, basically provoking David to do this. So God is angry, and he's kind of picking for a reason. He's already got an excuse to punish them, but he wants them to kind of seal their fate even further, so he releases the devil on David to provoke him to do something wrong, and when he does it, that's just the excuse God uses to just punish him. So that's kind of what's going on here. But either way, skip down to verse 10, and David's heart smote him after that he had numbered the people, and David said unto the Lord, I have sinned greatly in that I have done. And now I beseech thee, O Lord, take away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly. For when David was up in the morning, the word of the Lord came unto the prophet Gad, David's seer, saying, go and say unto David, thus saith the Lord, I offer thee three things. Choose thee one of them, that I may do it unto thee. So, okay, you screwed up, David. You're all in sin. I'm already angry with you. You got three choices, and he's about to give him three options, and none of them are good. So these are the three choices here. Verse 13. So Gad came to David and told him and said unto him, shall 7 years of famine come unto thee in thy land? Or wilt thou flee 3 months before thine enemies? That's option number two. While they pursue thee? or that there may be 3 days pestilence in thy land. Now advise and see what answer I shall return to him that sent me. So Gad's coming to David and say, hey, what do you want? You want 7 years of famine? You want, you know, or 7 years, right? Yeah, 7 years of famine, 3 months of fleeing before your enemies, or 3 days of pestilence. One of them is going to happen as a punishment. Which one? I'm letting you pick. And basically, we'll keep reading here. None of these options are good, by the way. They all are going to cause a lot of people to die, okay? And David said unto Gad, I am in a great strait. You know, this is a hard choice. I mean, what? Not none of them, right? I mean, can I have, you know, maybe a fourth choice where no one's dying? No. Let us fall now into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are great. So he says, I don't want to be, you know, fleeing from the enemy. I don't want to have the famine. He wants to fall into the hand of the Lord. So where God's basically inflicting this directly, not using some foreign enemy. For his mercies are great. Let me not fall into the hand of man. So the Lord, so maybe God, maybe it'll actually be a more lenient of a punishment if I just fall directly into the hand of God because he's just so merciful. Maybe he'll feel sorry, you know, right? That's kind of like, you know, if you're spanking your own child versus if you tell someone, like if you were to tell someone to spank your child and you say, all right, 10 licks. You might tell yourself that, but, you know, or whatever, 5 licks, I don't know, something less, you know, 2 licks or whatever, you know, whatever, right? You tell yourself, all right, you're getting this, but then you get into it and you're like, you know what, now I'm going to stop on that final because that's enough, right? Or as opposed to someone who's just doing what they're told or just kind of being used like a middleman, they're probably just going to carry it all, the initial punishment all the way through, right? So that's kind of like what's going on here. So the Lord, so they're falling into the hand of the Lord. So they pick option number 3. So what does that look like? And so the Lord sent a pestilence upon Israel from the morning even to the time appointed, so for 3 days. And there died of the people from Dan even to Beersheba 70,000 men. And you know what? I don't see in the story, all right, everybody, you know, everybody needs to wear the mask, you know, because it's going to be rough for the next couple of days, right? I mean, maybe it happened, but it's not in the story, right? Anyways, I mean, and you know what? The thing about it is, if you're wearing a mask or not, if God wants to kill you, it's going to happen. I mean, if God's judging the nation, it's like, oh, man, I was going to kill so many people, but they all wore masks. Man, I'm going to have to try something else. You think that's what God's thinking? God, if God wants you to be killed, if God wants an X amount of number in a nation to be killed because he's judging them, because he's the one who sends disease, you think the mask is going to stop him? Okay, well, hey, the mask is a good principle. I'm not, you know, again, we want to have the right view and the right balance, okay? So that wouldn't have done anything. So let's keep reading here. So the Lord sent a pestilence upon Israel from the morning. I already read this verse. Verse 16. And when the angel, this is what's interesting. And when the angel stretched out his hand upon Jerusalem to destroy it. So what is this talking about? Is this like just now God sending the disease and now there's also some angel that's coming in and just, you know, destroying? Well, no, let's see what's going on. The Lord repented him of the evil and said to the angel, that destroyed the people. It is enough. Stay now thine hand. And the angel of the Lord was by the threshing place of Araunah, the Jebusite. And David spake unto the Lord when he saw the angel that smote the people and said, lo, I have sinned and have done wickedly. But these sheep, what have they done? Let thine hand, I pray thee, be against me and against my father's house. Now skip down to verse 25 at the end, and it says, and David built there an altar unto the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. So the Lord was entreated for the land, and the plague was stayed from Israel. So when the angel stopped destroying, that was equivalent to the plague being stopped. Okay? Because basically, if you could look at through spiritual goggles right now in America, you know, with people that are dying or being smitten with coronavirus, you would see like an angel just going through and just, you know, stabbing people through the mask, I guess, right? You know, like, I got my mask on. Nope. And they just, you know, I don't know what, because he's got a sword. It's kind of like, you know, Balaam, right? When, you know, Balaam was riding the donkey and he didn't see the angel with a sword that was about to kill him, but then God allowed him to see it. I mean, how much of that's going on? But, you know, so this is what pestilence looks like spiritually. When God's wanting to kill people with a disease, it's an angel coming to kill everybody or destroy everybody. You know, okay. And in the story, like 70,000 people died, if I remember correctly, in 3 days. and one nation of Israel that's not that big of a place. I mean, it's kind of like the size of Georgia, basically. You know, and I'm sure the population of the world was way, way smaller, so that was a big percentage of people, okay? So God is the one who sends plagues. He's the one who sends pestilence. Okay, now we're going to kind of get into a little bit of a gear change here, because now I'm going to start preaching against the people that basically want to impose us to wear masks and basically point out that they have the attitude of the Pharisees. It's almost kind of funny if you think about it. And I thought this was interesting when I first realized it, because they have the exact attitude of the Pharisees. Okay, turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 15. Okay, now the Pharisees, you know, hopefully everybody knows they're these religious leaders during the days of Jesus Christ. And they're no good, right? They're bad people. They're the ones that were responsible for crucifying Jesus, leading the people to crucifying Jesus, okay? And Jesus is constantly preaching against them and all this good stuff. So Matthew chapter 15, verse 1, we're going to start reading about one of these encounters between Jesus and the Pharisees. So Matthew 15, verse 1, Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, "Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. Why aren't you wearing a mask? Why aren't your disciples washing their hands? That's our tradition. That's our executive order," or whatever. That's our policy. "But he answered and said unto them, Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition?" Okay? "For God commanded, saying..." So he's not going to bring up the tradition of washing of hands. He's going to bring up another tradition that they have, okay? And here's the thing. Washing your hands, that's a good idea, okay? So we're going to get into what the problem is here. The problem is not washing your hands. I'll just go ahead and say, it's not that washing your hands is just a sin, that's wicked, it's a horrible idea, just doesn't work, tried it, didn't work, you know. The Bible teaches in the Old Testament it's good to wash your hands under running water. But you know what it's not? It's not a command to where you have to do it. Is it a good idea? Yeah. You know, wash your hands, you know, before you eat. I do it pretty much every time I eat, right? And other times, you know, especially when I shake a lot of y'all's hands, all right? No, I'm just kidding. And so, okay, yeah, I'm shaking, you know, washing my hands after shaking his hand. No, I'm just kidding. Sort of. So, continue reading here. He said, "Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, It is a gift by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites." Okay, you're getting all bent out of shape over the disciples not washing their hands because your tradition that you love so much, but then you take those same type of traditions of, you know, that you uphold to be so holy, and you're not even following the commandment of God in the first place. Right. In this example that he brought up, okay, you're supposed to take care of your parents when they get old. You're supposed to honor your father and your mother. Financially is what that's talking about. Most people know that in here because we've had enough preaching on it. But instead, you're saying, no. I don't have to do that. That if I give you anything, mom and dad, you just consider that a gift. You know, you just, you know, think you're stars or whatever, right? That is making void the commandment of God through their tradition. But then they want to get all upset about something that's not even in the Word of God. Okay? You know, can't we divorce our wives for every cause? Make sure you wash your hands though. Well, God didn't say wash your hands, but he said to not commit adultery. Thou shalt not commit adultery. That was part of the Ten Commandments, not thou shalt wash thy hands or thou shalt wear a mask everywhere you go, right? This extra over-the-top cleanliness that you're imposing on everybody else. And I shouldn't say that it's extra over-the-top cleanliness, but it's the fact that you're imposing on others. And what's funny is that they're also not keeping the commands of God, okay? Because what do you see today? You know, it's funny because you go out to Walmart, you go wherever, you're not wearing a mask. As you're shacked up with your boyfriend, as you're on your third husband, as you're promoting fags on Facebook, as you had an abortion, or, you know, whatever, right? You know, you're on drugs, you're drinking your Bud Dumber. Well, at least you wore your mask, though. Why don't you, you know, worry about keeping God's law and quit getting all, you know, bent out of shape on something he never commanded us to do, even if it is a good thing to do, right? How about you quit omitting the weightier matters of the law, right? How about you focus on what God told you to do and what's more important, what's weightier, right? What matters more, instead of getting all, you know, nitpicky about something that's just your tradition, what you like, your preference. You know, continue reading. Well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth the man. Okay? But that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth the man. Okay, skip down to verse 15. And Jesus and Peter answered, then answered Peter and said unto him, declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, are ye also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? Okay. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashing hands defileth not a man. Okay? That which goes in the mouth when you breathe in, when you know, or this is eating, so I'm not changing God's word or anything, but that's not what you should be worried about. Okay? Because it's the sin that you should be worried about. That which comes out of you is what you should be worried about. Because your sin that's coming out of your wicked heart, that's why God's given you the disease in the first place. That's why he's cursing the land in the first place. Okay? And all these things he mentioned here. Okay? Murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts. Think about all the riots going on. What are they doing while they're doing it? They're stealing whatever, looting. Oh, but that's their freedom. That's their liberty to do that. They're just protesting. God bless them. But you better wear your mask. Don't you see kind of how that's like, what are you doing? You're swallowing the gnat of I love a faggot, and you're straining at, or you're well, I think I said that backwards. You're swallowing the camel of loving the homo or whatever, but then you're straining at the gnat of wear your mask. That's backwards, right? How about you quit omitting the weightier matters of the law? Okay? And that's exactly what Jesus said to the Pharisees in Matthew 23:23. Okay? Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. You know, you ought to have judged the doctor who murdered the baby. You ought to have went with the judgment and the mercy, instead of, we got to make sure everyone's wearing a mask. How about you focus on what's actually important? And then when we get all that figured out, maybe then you could start adding on to that if you want to. But, you know, actually that would be actually be oppression, because anytime a government adds laws, they're not biblical laws, that's not right. That's oppression. They're going beyond the scope of the authority that God gave them. Okay, so that's not right for them to do. Okay. So again, this is for people that want to impose wearing masks on others. Because, you know, that's where I have the problem. That's where you're like a Pharisee. That's where you're wrong. If you want to wear a mask, that's fine. I mean, that's fine. Anyone who wants to wear a mask, that's fine. Or if you don't want to wear a mask, that's fine. Unless you have like a biblical reason where you're actually sick or you're coming in contact with someone who's sick, right? That's what the Bible's teaching there. That's the Bible view of that. Okay, but you know, go ahead and turn to Romans chapter 14, because you know what? All that being said, that is, I believe, the truth about this whole mask view. This is the type of view we ought to have. Okay, but we live in a world where this is not the view. We come in contact with people that they don't agree with this, or if they heard this, they'd probably get all upset. You know, I'm sure they'd find something, right? I need to get upset about that I said. Romans 14, chapter 1. Okay. Go ahead and turn there. This is the last place we're going to go to. It says, "Him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him." Okay, you know, this is talking about how there used to be dietary restrictions in the Old Testament, but those things were done away. So now in the New Testament, we can eat anything, right? We can eat all meat. But, you know, some people, they still think there's something wrong with eating certain meats, like pork or whatever, right? But, you know, you ought to, you know, it doesn't matter. It's not a sin to eat, and it's not a sin not to eat. But if someone thinks there is something wrong with it, you know, okay, they can do that if that's what they want to do. And don't despise them for that. You know, if you want to wear a mask, there's nothing sinful about wearing a mask. And if you don't want to wear a mask, there's nothing sinful about, in of itself, not wearing a mask. Right? But, you know, don't despise each other because you're not doing what you think the other person should do. Right? Skip down to verse 10. "But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou sit at naught thy brother?" Oh, man, sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so, they're wearing masks. Oh, man, they're so stupid. They're just nothing. I mean, don't sit at naught your brother. Right? You ought to love people, and that ought not to bother you. Right? I mean, who cares? Who cares what someone else eats or what someone else wants to wear as far as that, you know what I'm saying? That doesn't matter. The things that are not like according to God's law, they're just extra preferences. Who cares, right? "Don't sit at naught thy brother, for we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way." Okay, you know, we don't want to become a stumbling block to other people, right? So whether it be meat or not, or if it be masks, if that's a stumbling block to people, then just wear the mask. It's not a sin, right? I mean, we ought to love people enough to not want to be a stumbling block, because that actually could be, that actually is where you get into sin, right? Not wearing a mask in of itself is what's wrong, but just this attitude, I'm not wearing a mask, that's stupid, anyone who wears a mask is stupid, and there you're a stumbling block to your brother, or like when you go out sowing, and if somebody is more comfortable with that, and they're not, you know, if they're more comfortable with it, then, hey, we're trying to make them comfortable so that they'll believe and be saved, right? So, hey, let's become all things to all men, that we don't offend, right? I mean, we shouldn't try to offend unless it's God's word. If it's God's word, then be offended. But if it's not, and hey, we should try to our best to live at peace with all men, right? And you know, also, if they make it illegal and you have to wear a mask or you're going to go to prison, wear the mask.
That's right.
Right? I mean, that's not worth it. I don't necessarily think you're going to get some reward in heaven. Well, what'd you do? Oh, I never wore the mask. Oh, well, you're an idiot. You know, go. Hopefully you did something else, you know. You know, and you know, some people are like, oh, man, but the mask, it's like the mark of the beast or something. It's like, no, it's not the mark of the beast. Now, here's the thing. Yeah, the government making you do something, that's similar to the way that they're going to make everyone take the mark of the beast. But they're doing that with all kinds of other things. So a mask is just one more. I mean, they're making you drive a certain speed. They're making you, you know, all these other extra biblical laws. I mean, this is just one more thing. So it's like, whatever. But you're not going to be damned or something if you wear a mask. You know what I mean? Just like you're not going to be damned if you drive 45 in a 45 speed limit zone. Oh, well, you're just doing what the government tells you to do. It's like, no, I'm just trying to live peaceably. I don't want to get some dumb ticket right? I mean, you're just avoiding problems. That's just smart, right? You don't have to have this, well, I got freedom, I got rights, so I'm just going to be unwise. That's not what Daniel did, right? When he purposed in himself that he's not going to eat the king's meat, but was that like, did he have that attitude where I'm just not going to eat it, you can't make me? He entreated him, right, that he might not eat it. You know, read Daniel, right? That's wisdom. You know, that's why people are getting killed by the police, by the way, because they don't have wisdom. Because, you know, if I get pulled over and I get, you know, arrested, I'm not going to be like, oh, you can't resist. You know, you can't do that. You know, I'm not going to get killed over something stupid. Whether it's right for them or not, you know, that's just what I'm going to do. I'm going to say, yes, sir, and here's your stupid money. Go to hell with it, you know. Or try to give them the gospel. That's happened. Overcome evil with good, right? That's what we're supposed to be doing here. Okay, but we're not supposed to be a stumbling block, okay? I know, verse 14, and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. You know, people that just genuinely believe that you should wear a mask, if it helps, then hey, wear it, you know? You know, I wear it, but I'm going to wear it below my nose because it just said upper lip in the Bible. And, you know, I like to breathe too. And if I'm, like, especially if I'm doing something, you know, strenuous where I need to breathe, well, you know, me breathing is a little more important than just not bothering someone. So that, you know, I take that in consideration also. But, you know, I'll try to do my best to breathe and make everyone happy. Because, you know, you got to breathe, right? You know. But anyways, so continuing on here. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably, destroy not him with thy meat, for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. The kingdom of God is not masked or not wearing a mask either. It's, you know, I don't think we're all just going to be sitting around at the river of life in the new earth just talking about, oh yeah, remember when we were all wearing a mask? Who cares? Because I bet you we're going to have a lot of other things to talk about, and it's not going to matter, right? Because the kingdom of heaven is not these things. Okay, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. Okay, you know, we ought to be seeking peace, right? Blessed are the peacemakers, right? So, you know, it's important to know the truth about things, and we ought to know, hey, what things should be like, because it's important to know the truth. But with that in mind, you want to live peaceably, you don't want to be an offense to people, and, you know, and all those good things. You know, we ought to be Christ-like and love people, okay? In conclusion, you know, let's use common sense that the Bible teaches, okay? But let's not go overboard and start getting in all these extremes where we're really just not even trusting the Lord, right? Let's trust in the Lord. Let's be right with God so he doesn't have to send the disease and pestilence and stuff on us, right? Let's live at peace with all men as much as we can, right? And let's love people, right? Let's get a biblical view on all subjects, and let's get a biblical view on wearing medical masks. All right, let's go ahead and bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Dear Lord, I pray that this sermon was a blessing. Thank you for this opportunity to preach. And pray that you will just allow us to come to your word and get your opinions on different subjects, whatever they are, and so that we can know the truth and that we can teach others and be blessed for it. And in Jesus' name I pray, amen.
One last song. If you guys can open up your hymnals to song number 56. Song number 56, when we all get to heaven. Song number 56.